Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with Rant of a Free Trapper. You're going to hear some background noise. I'm actually in my wife's truck because it's quieter. I knew I was going to be doing this. It's Wednesday. It's the day before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody gets their turkey. If you've never had a smoked turkey before, much better than in the oven, just saying. Plus, you get all that nice tryptophan. You get all that dosage of serotonin. It makes you happy. It makes you a better person to be around. So don't forget to eat your turkey, not just because it's tradition. Now, I want to thank our sponsor for the show, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan is a really close friend of mine. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff together in the future. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I know I can trust Alan. I know Alan from Funky Trap Tags and Supplies is an honest man. He's not a greedy person, which makes me trust him anymore. Even more. He just wants to do the right thing, and he is the sponsor of this show. And he pays a pretty penny to be a sponsor of this show, to be honest with you. And if you like the Rants of the Free Trapper, some of them I'm sure you do, and some of them are probably weird, depending on who you are. But, you know, think about him before you go buy your stuff, because he's actually putting out dollar bills so you can keep this going on Trapping Radio. He's a member of the Fur Brigade. You can get 10% off his stuff if you have that discount. Now, those have changed. Just letting you know, those have changed the code. So if you haven't re-signed up for that, it's not going to work, you know, but that's just life, I guess. But he's has everything you want. They're really good on getting stuff out on time. He's on Amazon, Bonanza, Walmart, eBay, plus his own websites. So give him a shot. That's Funky Trap Tags and Supply. I was going to do a show that I did yesterday, and it became too clunky. And then the title of it, and I'm probably going to figure out how to refine this a little bit to make this work out better, but it's, if a prostitute tells you that you're the best she's ever had, should you believe her? And it was actually about some diet stuff and what I consider American Heart Association to be. And it was just too clunky. So I'm going down. Today I get stitches out of my ear where they cut off some stuff where I hadn't been wearing sunscreen. And I've got to check a couple places on the way back for some beaver, because that's what I'm going to be probably concentrating on. One, for the meat. And two, I need the castor and oil sacks for my lure business. Way more than I need coyotes and bobcats right now. So except for doing some predator control stuff, that's what I'm going to be concentrating on, because that's what I need at the moment. So that's what I'm doing right now. That's why I'm in the truck. Travis has come over. He texted me this morning. I hadn't seen a picture yet, but he said he smoked one, and he went to a new place, and he got him a deer this morning, which I know he's probably super stoked and probably about 14 feet tall right now. So I'm proud of him for that. What I want to talk about is failure and the illusion of how we are today about looking at failure. Because I'm going to make a statement. People that don't fail hadn't done shit. They hadn't done anything if they've never failed. I guarantee you, they're playing the game. They're staying within the rules. They're getting the same type of response that the rule makers are giving them. They're not really changing anything in their life. They're just kind of like a, you know, somebody. I mean, just think of a domestic dog. The domestic dog may or may not really like you all the time, but he's not going to bite you because that's where the food comes from. And, you know, you do have a little house for him in, or you may let the dog come in when it's in winter if it's really, really cold outside. You're going to get its shots for it and stuff like that. And it's kind of a mixture between the two on that relationship. Now, some dogs and owners have really amazing relationships. And some dogs, I think, just put up with the owners because it's a mutual relationship. And the dog doesn't ever want to consciously take a chance on screwing that relationship up. So he's not going to do anything out of the ordinary. He's going to wag his tail when you come home. He's going to act like he really cares about what you're saying. you know, stuff like that. That's the way I think a lot of people live their life. Kind of like a domestic dog. And to me, it's a sad way to go about your life. Now, I'm not saying this because I don't want someone to confuse what I'm saying here as far as, you know, you've got a job, you've been doing it a long time, you've been doing the same thing, you're a good employee, you know. I'm not comparing you to a dog at all or a domestic dog at all. I'm talking about other things in your life. Because that steady job, well, that steady income may be what you need for wherever you're at in your life. I totally get that. It's not the way I've chosen my life, but it is. I totally get that for some people and some personalities, that is the way to go. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are afraid to fail. Because if you can't think of 10 things right off the top of your head that you failed at, what a boring life that must be. And what a shame to waste it. Because I can tell you that I have failed as many times as I've succeeded. I've failed with lures. I've failed with ways that I wanted to trap. I've failed in business over and over again. And I've learned from every one of those. And instead of giving up because of failure or not taking the chance on the failure, it gets me to a different place that I really could not be if I wouldn't have failed. Failure's a funny thing to me. I've got a slogan, and I've said this before. Failure's not an option is Predator Control Group's slogan. I did that for Predator Control. That is not for me. Because if I'm not failing or being uncomfortable in certain things on a weekly basis, I know that I'm losing the game. Failure is something that you always have to go on. I have come up with trap ideas that I've spent tremendous amount of time. I'm working on one with Chip right now. That it could be a colossal failure that for 2 years, me and Chip just absolutely get our butt kicked. But if it works, and it works well, and it works better, and it's better for the end user to use, that is a massive, massive win. But I'm not going to get into what that trap is, because there's a good chance this thing's going to be patented. But it would absolutely revolutionize the way people go out and catch coyotes. It really would. If it works. Now, me and Chip's been going back and forth. Being the master, metal guy that he is, you know, he's made some changes that he just saw on his own, and I don't mind that one bit. Might be a massive, massive failure. The one that's not been a total failure, but it hasn't been a big success, is the camo corn that we've got. It's a great product. Market, you know, I'm selling some, but it's not what I thought it would be. So is it really a success? No. Would it be considered a failure when you compare it to a lot of my other products? Probably. You know, but I learned something from doing that. And I'm just giving you some examples from this. When I first started in the pool business, I failed 100% for weeks and months of selling a swimming pool. I didn't know how to do it. I kept learning from every single rejection I got until it got to the point where I was actually subbing out my pools to the other companies because they couldn't get the jobs. Most people, I promise you, after 3 or 4, 5 or 10 absolute rejections on something like that, would have put their tail, the head between their legs, and ran off and said, I can't do it. Failure is what got me to the point where when I was selling swimming pools, I dominated that space. It was almost a 90% rate when I went to bid a pool. We're talking somewhere between $14,000 and $30,000 bids. Almost a complete domination of doing that. But I only did it because I failed, and I sure as crap didn't know what I was doing when I started, because I wasn't messing up on purpose just because I thought it would be fun. Desperately needed money and desperately kept struggling at it. Failure is not a bad thing. It's how you grow. I think part of the reason that failure today is looked at so bad is because, especially with social media, if you fail at something and it's public, you get all of these other people that are scared to death to do anything themselves that dogpile on you and try to pummel you and make themselves feel better because they knew it wouldn't work. We've all seen this. Anything that doesn't work very well, people love to just pile on and try to make themselves feel better. And I think with social media, it's made it where a lot of people are even afraid to try anything if anybody's going to find out about it. Now, to someone that understands how important failure is, I look at that as an advantage. That is a true advantage in my life, because I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to be a fool, but I will learn something from that, and somewhere down the road that's going to come back. In today's culture, how timid and weak-minded most people are when it comes to failure, that already gives me probably an 80% chance of succeeding over other people. It's almost the same as if you run your own business today. Show up when you say you're going to be there, and you're in the top 10% of whatever your industry is. Let that sink in a minute. If you say you're going to do A and you do A, even if you're not the best at A, you're in the top 95% of your business, because most people don't do what they say they're going to do. This fragile world that we live in now, as far as people are always thinking that they got to know everything before they start, and they got to have all the answers before they start, and different things like that, is the reason it seems like some people can be easily more successful than other people. It's because those people are willing to take a chance on something. A great example of this is I've got a friend, and it's not Tim. I've got a friend that's in the tech world that builds different type of websites for different type of industries. And he's got one that is really cool, and the dude's paying him really well. And it's a different way to handle reviews on websites, because most people don't leave reviews unless they're pissed off. And then they want to leave a bad one. Well, the way people look at reviews now, if you got 10 people to give reviews and 5 people are pissed off because it might have not even been anything, could have been confusion about the product, or they wanted to actually have a tool that was going to last for 500 years and they want to pay 25 cents for it, whatever it is, it really hurts your ranking. So this guy, not my friend, come up with this idea to walk people through the process of reviews and have a way where if it's just a spiteful for review, that it goes away. And he showed over and over again places like Yelp and stuff like that are not very honest in the way that they do that. And he shows businesses this. Anyway, he's working on this website. He's taken some case studies of businesses, and I mean, blew their business up because reviews got really high through this process that he's working a customer through, where they want to leave reviews. It's really cool. It's not anything like just leave a review. It's nothing like that. The guy that's doing the website is one of these that, even though he's paying a lot of money, and this has been going on for a long time, the tech's already there, the code's already there, but he's like, maybe we can have just a lighter shade of red on these letters over here. Or what if the logo was this? Or what if we broke this page down into this? And he's always nitpicking the site, not the work for my friend, but just trying to make it absolutely perfect before it launches. He's afraid of failure. This has been going on for 2, I think 3 years. if this catches on, the dude's going to be probably at least a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire, because every business is going to want to do this. It's really cool tech. But he won't launch it because he's afraid that something's not going to be perfect. And it just goes on and on and on. When you look at Facebook, Zuckerberg, whatever you think about him, he basically made Facebook drunk at Harvard University to try to figure out how to get girls. Because he wanted to know if they were single or with a partner. Now, he's got what he called his CFO that funded. It was like $18,000 or something over a time period. That wanted it to start being monetized for money. And he kept pushing him to do this and this and this and get advertisers and stuff before they launched. Zuckerberg, drinking too much beer one night, launched Facebook. Now, there's a lot of weird stuff that happened with Zuckerberg. I don't know this, but the way he kind of acts, I think he's got a case of Asperger's where he doesn't really understand empathy, or he's very just socially awkward to the point that it's hard to deal with somebody like him. I'm not sure what it is. He did not wait for it to be perfect. I think it'll work. I think we're close. Launch. See, Zuckerberg was not afraid of failure. My friend's guy that's doing this web site is scared crapless of failure. And will the website ever come online? I don't know. Will it be out of date by the time it does? Possibly. Will this guy have wasted all this money and energy because he's scared to death that something's not going to be perfect? When you look at Zuckerberg and Facebook, they were listening to people and seeing the trends of people in college, because that's why this thing started. And then they would add to Facebook as they came up with ideas, and they would test them. If people didn't like them, they'd get rid of them. So it was never a perfect plan to begin with. And now he's worth billions. That's with a B. Billions of dollars. Like I said, forget all about the political and the way he's trying to act like his own little Russia when it comes to political stuff. But just the idea that he was not afraid of failure and launched it. Two really cool tech things going on. One hadn't seen the light of day, and one dude's worth $1 billion. Or several, actually. Failure. Now, when you throw in social media, because everybody likes to put down everybody else, and everybody else have, for some reason, wants to listen to all the other people, they ain't never done crap in their life either, when it comes to whatever the topic is, that goes back to tribalism, and you want to have people that somewhat in your tribe, you want to get along, and you know, it's just human nature. But somehow we're going to have to overstep that if you're ever going to do anything in your life. Because there's always going to be, quote, haters or trolls or whatever your vernacular is on this. And they're going to constantly try to put you down. Because if you succeed, it really shows everybody just how inept they really are. And they're scared to death of that because they don't want people thinking that about them. It's just human nature all the way around. You have to understand it. And then we have our upbringing. Now, we can sit here and rant and rail on millennial and different things like that. You know, the new generations and the way that they think and the way that they act and, you know, just how, you know, they're just dripping snowflakes and, you know, they can't do anything without getting their feelings hurt and all this. We can go through all that. The difference of the generations coming up is twofold as far as I can tell. And both of them are going to fall back to why people are afraid of failure. In school today, if you question anything that you're told, you're going to fail. Your parents are going to get on to you. You're not going to get in the right school. You're going to be destitute because you fail a third grade spelling test or a history test. And, you know, you're going to be on welfare for your whole life and living under a bridge because you got a C on a spelling test in the third grade. Which is foolish, but that's how much success without failure is presented to children today. Plus, with all the information we have today, notice I don't say experience, but all the information that we have access today, it gives the illusion that before you start any project, you can have all the answers. And I know a lot of people that want to have all the answers before they start any project. They want to make sure that they know the outcome. They want to make sure they know the revenue. They want to make sure they know all the liabilities. They want to make sure they know all the psychology of what's going on. They want absolute guarantee before they start a project. And there's no such thing. But because kids are taught in a way where they're not allowed to think and they're not allowed to fail without scaring them to death because they're going to be homeless under a bridge, failure has somehow become very scary to people. One of the things that I absolutely love about Charles Dobbins is I've talked to so many people that's had conversations with him about different topics. Now, Charles Dobbins was definitely not a millennial because when I met him, I was probably mid-20s, and he was probably in his 70s. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, World War II generation type. And when someone would bring anything to him, because I've heard this several times, and I've caught myself when people ask me questions on Facebook and different things like that. Whenever they brought this stuff to him, he would go, try it out and see. Not that it would work, or not that it wouldn't work, or not that you need to try this. Try it out and see. Well, you know, I've got a spooky cow, so I'm going to put the trap upside down and hang it from a tree and put it under a bush. And, you know, they got this crazy thing they're going to do, which is crazy just by the normal. Doesn't mean it's really crazy, but it's crazy by the normal. Charles Dobbins would go, try it and see. And I'm sure a lot of those people went out and tried and see. Some of it worked, some of it didn't. I guarantee you they learned something from it. That's the way my generation was also raised. And there was a lot of different things that happened in my generation that newer kids, unfortunately, are never going to get to figure out for themselves. When we got home from school, we were on our own. Saturday, we would leave in the morning. I don't remember ever taking bottled water or lunch. I don't remember. I guess we didn't eat. I mean, thinking back on it, me and Senior talking about this the other day, we must not have drank or ate anything, no matter how hot it was. But we would go and we would make games up. We'd go play army in the swamps. I mean, thinking back on it now, I'd be horrified to even do this. We used to play army with BB guns on goggles in beaver swamps with alligators. And we're up to our necks having the time of our life. Or we would go camping out in the woods. And we're talking like fifth grade. We'd build fires. We'd try to cook something, it'd be terrible, we'd eat it anyway. I mean, we were failing all the time. But it wasn't like there was repercussions from failure. It was always about learning. You learned how to deal with other people. You learn how to understand that if you're not nice to other people, people will not want to be around you. That's not the case today. People today think you can be the biggest butthole in the world and everybody still has to like you. And that's just not how human nature is. But if you cheat when you're a kid in a game, whether it's something you made up or something not, you learn very quickly that people do not like that and don't want to be around you anymore. And it's very, very powerful. We also had almost like what were rites of passage. You know, you dealt with bullies when I was in school. And the thing about bullies that is very different from cyberbullies. But the difference between bullies when I was in school and bullies today is you learned who you were and where you were in the pecking order around you very quickly. Unless you were just an absolute coward. See, it was almost like a rite of passage. Somewhere between, you know, grade school and high school, you were going to be challenged. And you either stood up to it or you didn't. And if you stood up and you still got your butt kicked, you knew that there is definitely a pecking order. I've got chickens. You can see pecking order every day. It's not evil. It's just the way that it is. You know, I'm a very confident male. But I'm pretty sure if I got in a fist fight with somebody like, heck, I don't know, LeBron James, 6'9", solid muscle and in great shape, I'd probably be in trouble. See, there's a pecking order to that. You kind of learn things from that. It's kind of like a rite of passage. Going into the military, for me and a lot of other people, is a rite of passage. That's the reason I think I'm torn on whether people should do that today, the same as it was, but it was a rite of passage. You came from a boy at 18, 19, 20 years old, a boy, and you had to go through basic training in AIT the way that we had to go through it, and it was a freaking rite of passage. I mean, it really was. Same thing with almost violent top sports for males. Football is a good example. It's a rite of passage. Because you can think you're the best, and you can say you're the best, and mommy can always be patting you on the butt that you're best. And you go up against somebody that's worked harder, bigger, faster, stronger, and they knock the breath out of you, and you're seeing stars. You learn from that. I'm either going to be weaker and get my butt kicked, or I'm going to be stronger and I'm going to be able to compete on that type level. We just don't have rite of passage. Kids don't go out and do stuff like that anymore. It's all controlled. It's all sanctioned. The rules are already set in place. Everybody's got to be a certain way. You don't keep score. I mean, is it any wonder kids are the way that they are? And I want you to think back a couple hundred years ago to 10,000 years ago. Every culture had rite of passage. You are not a man until you did this. It could be you killed somebody in combat. It could be you had to go out for 4 months by yourself with nothing. And if you lived and you come back, you were a man. You had to go climb this mountain by yourself. If you lived, you were a man, because a lot of kids wouldn't live. Rites of passage. You learned to be a little bit different after some rites of passage. And kids don't have that anymore. They're taught to be scared to death of failure. And they don't have any types of passage because everything is abuse and mean and different things like that. So how in the world are they going to be able to accept any type of challenges besides something that's already preordained by the system? But when it comes to your own trapping, with your own revenue streams, with your own business, with your own jobs, whatever it is, I truly believe this. Most people, if not all people, have an idea or they see something around them that will totally change their life if they'll act on it. 99.5% of all people are too afraid of the failure to act on it. I'm talking in America. You have this right in front of you. You see that this will work. You don't know that it's going to work because no one else is doing it yet. But you think it will. And you don't do it because, what if it fails? What if I lose some money? What if people make fun of me? What if I waste 5 years trying to make this work? and you just go back into your whatever you're doing, and you never ever take that chance. Fear of failure. Failure needs to be celebrated. Play a game with yourself. For the next 6 months, figure out something that's a little crazy, a little off the wall, whether it be in trapping, hunting, whatever it is, and go out and try it. And at the end of every month, you can't write down what you failed at and go celebrate somehow. You're missing the point. And then eventually get to where you can come up with a way you fail every week. And if you have children and they're trying something different, a little bit off the wall and this, that, and the other, you need to celebrate the failures with them as much and more than the successes. Because if kids today and adults today start understanding how important failure is to success, we're going to unleash something in a society that we can't even comprehend. And the reason we're at today, with all of the economic power and all that, that's because 150 years ago, people were not afraid to fail. No one today would go to California and do a gold rush. Very few. Well, how do you know you're going to find it? Maybe someone's already got it. Maybe there's no claims out there. Maybe. You come up with every reason why it don't work and you sit your butt at home. No, when they found gold in Alaska, people died getting there with no guarantees whatsoever. So think about this when you're doing it. And part of the reason this has come to my mind, I'm going to finish with this. Everybody that listens to me knows I like Travis a lot. And I want him to succeed as much as I want myself to succeed. Now, Travis has got a place where he's got some decent deer. And some of them are more than decent. And he's been struggling. And he went to a different place today and shot, I'm assuming, a buck. Actually, that could have been him that texted with a picture. And see if it is. He said a toad. I don't know what that means with deer hunting. Anyway, he's having trouble. I mean, there is a nice, epic brag for the rest of your life deer that he knows in the general area where it's at. It's hard. Now, I'm not a big deer hunter as far as horns. I never hunted big deer. I meat hunt. You know, and what I told him, I'm like, Travis, what you're trying to do is be like a sniper trying to shoot a sniper. What I do is I go to the battlefield and wait till someone charges me and I shoot them. What I'm doing with deer hunting is very different than what you're doing with deer hunting. And you're probably going to have to think different than everybody else does when it comes to deer hunting if you want to kill deer like you want to kill. But it's difficult, and I can tell from Travis, and I'm not picking on Travis at all, but this is very common. I could say the same thing about coyotes, bobcats, or otter, or anything else, or some people too afraid to start their own businesses. You have to be willing to fail to get big rewards. If you're not willing to fail, I promise you the reward's not that big. The deer that I've seen with him is a freaking reward. And I'm talking epic for Tennessee. And what I told him is, Travis, I'm not a big adult, you know, I've never really done that. I don't know that much about it. You know, I can, you know, theorize or come up with a hypothesis on it or something like that, but I really don't know. But I'm willing to bet, because that deer's been there for a while and a lot of people have tried to get it and no one has. And I'm like, Travis, you're going to have to start doing some things that are different from the norm. And that makes Travis nervous. And before anybody goes, well, I would you really? That makes most people nervous. Most people are really nervous of doing anything that's not normal. Because what if you fail? I was like, you know, maybe you need to look at your stand locations different. Maybe you need to look at a different way that the buck's coming in. I don't know. I mean, see, I don't know how to help him with this. It's all guessing if I try to help him. And the easiest thing is to go, well, there's more deer over here. I'll go kill a deer, which he did. Because he loves to eat deer, so I think that's the right thing. And he said he's going to go back and he's going to try to figure out how to get this deer. But he's going to have to try to figure it out by doing something different than him and everybody else has done him before, which is going to take him into a place where failure could be a big, big percentage of what's going to happen. But if he does change that, whatever that is that needs to be changed on this deer, the rewards for that, especially someone that's getting into the deer industry as far as scents and stuff like that, like he is, that could be pretty freaking epic. I mean, to me, I'm going to tell you how I would go about this. I would write down everything that I think is the common sense way that everybody else and every magazine and every TV show has told me to go hunt deer. And I wouldn't do a damn bit one of them. I mean, I'm not going to like walk downwind from it, you know, stuff like that where it's blowing into him. I mean, I'm going to use some common sense. But if people are in trees, I might not get in a tree. If there's bluffs, I'm going to be hunting off the bluff because I know that there's people that kill big deer that don't hunt out of tree stands that hunt bluff lines around here, and they got this unique way that they hunt. I would probably try that. I would change up where or how I've got to get into the deer somehow or another, even if it's against conventional wisdom. I would try and try and try. Now, I may bust that deer and it may get onto me and I never see the deer again. But see, I have trained myself to accept the idea of failure for the purpose of learning, where to me that's acceptable. Because obviously the normal is not getting this deer. It's going to take abnormal. It's going to take the chance of a big, fat failure slap. Same thing happens with our trapping. Same thing happens with our business. Same thing happens with everything else that we do. Guys, girls, kids, who's ever listening, please teach yourself where it is a habit that you understand failure is not bad. Failure is the first steps to success. That is how you know you're getting somewhere. So just keep that in mind. Failure is good.